Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, it's a very special day here after all the snowstorms. We had a beautiful litter of Rhodesian Ridgeback puppies that was born on Friday. And I spent the better part of 2 days trying to keep one little tiny one alive. We unfortunately lost a little baby girl. Her name was Faith. And I want to thank the 3,000 or 4,000 people who have been watching for Faith and praying for her. But I'm sorry she didn't make it, and she's crossed the Rainbow Bridge, and I'm sure there's a little child who needs her desperately for a service dog, and she will be a great service dog in heaven for a child in need. So anyway, that brings me to understanding about different breeds and about different things that people expect and the way that people think about breeding and about dogs in general, about what they're what the best way to locate dogs and to find a dog that might be a good service dog or might be a good just therapy dog. Well, one of the things, obviously, is we do not believe in breeding mixed breed dogs. That does not mean that we have a problem with mixed breed dogs, but we have a problem with people who spend time and energy on breeding dogs that are only going to be bred to make money. That would be any of your designer disasters, and I know we'll probably have a lot of people unhappy with it, and you don't have to listen to the show if you're unhappy with that, but you know who you are. And when I'm sorry, when you're charging $1,600 or $2,000 or $2,500 for a mutt, that's really wrong. What kind of guarantees are you people getting when you go and spend $2,000 or $3,000 on a mutt? The thing is, you know, and it's nothing against the dogs, but I've seen so many people buy dogs who have serious health issues, behavioral issues, temperament problems, genetic issues, and, you know, you're really just buying somebody else's problem. If somebody really wants to breed a top-quality dog, it's going to be a show dog, and it's going to be a dog that they're able to go out and campaign, and you at least know that the dog is genetically sound, it has a good temperament. Obviously, if you go into a show ring with a show dog and the dog growls at somebody or at another dog, you're not going to be winning any shows and you're going to get kicked out. So there is that wonderful aspect with show dogs that at least if it is a breeder who breeds to show, that you know that that person is spending the time and energy and money on genetic tests, and they're making sure the hips and elbows and thyroid and the bear and surf and all the different tests and degenerative myelopathy are all done so that these dogs are going to be the best possible dogs at all for the owners. Now, why is it so important? Well, if you're going to be spending a ton of money, you want to make sure that, obviously, whether it's a house or a car or a dog, that you're making a good investment. Now, if you're starting out with a champion line, a beautiful, like a Wyatt child, or a Savannah, or a Wispa, or like this one is Brandy, where there are champion lines, grand champion show dogs, a breeder who's been around 20, 30 years, and knows what they're doing. Well, if you actually spend that kind of time and money, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to stand by your puppy. And that's really an important aspect of it. You have to make sure you're going to be standing by this dog that that somebody's buying. A breeder wants to sell you another dog in 15 years when that one finally passes away. However, a puppy mill, a person who's breeding for mixed breed dogs to make money or who's breeding quote-unquote purebred dogs to make money, those people really don't care if you buy another one because they'll find another sucker. But the problem is that, of course, once you get a dog and, you know, you see these cute, even if they're, you know, mutts and you're spending way too much money for them and you shouldn't really be doing that, but even if you're doing that, you know, and you know what you're getting into. There's nothing worse than seeing a cute little animal, whatever kind it is, wherever it came from, who's in pain or who is, you know, in a situation where they're, you know, where they're less than healthy. And that is not a good thing at all, obviously, ever. So, you know, one of the, I think, most important things is that when you're dealing with any kind of animal, is to get the best you can afford and do your research. Don't just go and go to a pet store. I don't care if your pet store says that they buy only from breeders. Well, a breeder breeds to better the breed. A breeder doesn't breed to make money. A hobby breeder, which is if you really want to go the right way, you're going to get a hobby breeder because there are puppy farms that they'll breed four or five different types of puppies. And a breeder who only breeds one breed, possibly a second, but normally one breed, is your best bet because those are going to be the people who are going to stand by the puppy. They're going to stand by anything that happens for whenever that would happen. And, you know, that's the main thing is you want to get a great, healthy, happy puppy that is going to be able to do what you want to do and not going to get sick and not going to have bad hips and bad elbows and thyroid issues and all kinds of stuff. But you don't know what you don't know. So it's really important to make sure that when you get a puppy, you're going to either purchase a purebred puppy from a legitimate show breeder. You want to ask about that. You want to make sure they're show breeders and that they are showing. That means that the person is more worried about making sure that the quality of the dog is high and excellent than they are about making money. It's not about the money. It's really not about the money with a good show breeder, a hobby breeder. Now, we will all dump a lot of money and spend a lot of money on all the things that we have to do from genetic testing on up, but we're not in it for making money. Compare that to somebody who is breeding, let's say, well, what do they have now, Palma Poos. I mean, I can't even believe these combinations that they're breeding. But they're breeding them, and they're breeding mixed breed dogs to make money. And I have a problem with that. I have a real problem with that because by breeding mixed breed dogs that are basically, you know, just there to make the breeder money, quote unquote breeder money, you know, you're asking for problems. So how do you know where you can get a good legitimate show breeder? Well, you can go on the AKC website. You can check it out. You can look at the different websites. You do not want to go to Puppy Mill, findmepuppymill.com or whatever. You want to look for a breeder who has been doing it a long time, who will spend a lot of time on the phone with you, who, you know, will say, hey, you know, not only look at my show dogs and let me show you the pictures of my show dogs, because a good show person should have that, but rather, like I tell people, if you want a Rhodesian Ridgeback, Google me. Google me as a person, too. Don't just Google Wyatt and don't just Google all my Grand Champion show dogs. Google those who should have, you know, you want to make sure, should have more to meet the eye. I do rescue dogs, and I take those rescue dogs and we train them to become service dogs. We rehabilitate them and give them what they need. Well, that's something, obviously, I mean, yes, I've been told I'm extremely altruistic and probably too much so, but that's what I love. I love giving away service dogs to kids who can't afford them, and they're the best trained dogs in the world. We're going to go into how to find yourself a great rescue dog after the next bit, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. all natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And a very special shout out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph, who is getting ever so much closer to becoming a veterinarian. We love you and are so grateful to have you in our lives, and thank you for spreading all the joy that you always seem to do to all the many people who love you. Well, today we're going to be talking about also how to choose the right dog. And you know, a lot of times, yeah, you can find that perfect dog in a shelter. When I started, 30 years ago, and I was taking shelter dogs from all over the country, and rehabilitating them, and then training them to be service dogs for special needs kids. I can remember a couple of people, including one woman who we do more dogs in a year than she's done in her whole life, but people saying, you can't take a shelter dog. It's going to be aggressive, and it's going to bite children in the face. And I remember very distinctly the lady, and she's in Connecticut, and she thinks she's some kind of dog expert, and what it is she's just, the mother of a child with special needs, and thought, gee, I can make money, and I can go train a dog. Well, I don't think she's trained a whole lot of dogs, but she does charge a whole lot of money, and she was one of those two people who decided that I was doing something crazy by taking shelter dogs and rehabilitating them. Well, I'm a canine behaviorist. I've been doing this for more than 30 years, actually since I'm 17, and that's a couple of years yet. So, you know, one of the things, obviously, is, when you have a dog who is something that is from a shelter or a rescue, like any dog, you want to make sure that it's between 2 and 4 months minimum that you're taking that dog, you're working with that dog, you're rehabilitating that dog, and you're trying as best you can to have that dog be a very good model citizen, so to speak. You want to make sure first that that dog has good temperament. You can look at it as its adult temperament and decide if it's something you like. And if you don't like one particular dog, guess what? You can go find another one. The shelters are full of them. And there are about 4 million dogs euthanized every single year. Think about that. 4 million dogs killed every single year. And why is that? It's because people don't know what they don't know. People think that, you know, you take a dog from the shelter and it's no good. And that's not true. A lot of those dogs are great dogs, but they have some kind of behavioral issue. And the people didn't know how to fix the behavioral issue, so what do? In classic human form, well, they take the dog and they dump it, and then they go get another one because they figure, well, I'll just go get another one. I'll go get another puppy, and they mess the other one up. If you don't know what to do and how to train your dog and how to rehabilitate a behavioral issue, then, you know, go get my book. I have a couple of books out. I have a lot of books out, but the one that I think is going to be most helpful to people is called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, Shh Happens, and it's called Canine Behavior 101. It's an amazing book that lists literally all the different ways in which you can rehabilitate a behavioral issue. It comes with a whole bunch about genetics. It talks about the nutritional issues that some dogs have. And it even talks about how to choose the right dog for your family. It explains the difference between rescuing and breeding, and it explains the good and bad of both. I'm not going to legislate that somebody should or shouldn't do something. I don't mind if you go and buy a purebred dog. I don't mind if you go and buy a mixed breed dog. But I do mind if somebody else is breeding a mixed breed dog to make money on it and doesn't do the right thing. And why do we need more mixed breed dogs when we've got so many in the shelters? 4 million being euthanized every day, I mean every year. That's a lot. You know, that you're talking about somewhere around 10,000 dogs around the country being euthanized. That's, like, ridiculous. How can you have that many dogs being euthanized? Well, because people don't understand that the most important thing is not to go and, you know, get a dog for Christmas or get a dog for a holiday or a birthday, but to get that dog forever, for life. So if you have a chance to get a dog from a rescue or a shelter, then please, by all means, do so. So important. You've got to be able to make sure that you're doing what you need and that that dog has what it needs as well to be able to be the best dog in the world. Now, what do you do when you get a dog and you pick one out at the shelter? Well, pick a copy of my book up. Happens, Canine Behavior 101. You can get it on Amazon and you can get it downloaded right for your Kindle. And once you decide that you're going to sit down and read my book, you're going to learn, just like I said, so much from nutrition all the way up to how to choose a dog, to how to teach the dog, how to build a connection and a bond with the dog. And, you know, just the general things that you will need, whether you think you're an experienced dog owner or you're not an experienced dog owner. It doesn't matter. Everybody can learn more. Everybody can learn more and more about dogs and what they need and how they think and how they act and why they do what they do. Well, of course, if you're too busy trying to tell everybody all the things you know, then you're not going to be able to learn all the things you don't know. Just remember, you don't know what you don't know. I've seen so many people through my lifetime who they think they know, and they think they know horses, or they think they know dogs, and they think they're this expert on horses, and I'll get on that horse and ride him, and the horse breaks the person's back, and guess what? The horse is the one who gets blamed. Well, if you're that stupid, and that is the great equalizer for sure, is getting on a 1,000-pound animal's back, because, you know, goes out the window really quickly when a horse is trying to buck you off and kill you, versus a dog who the worst that might happen is you might get nipped. But seriously, if you don't know, then learn. Just go out there and you get a copy of my book. It's really excellent. And Happens, Canine Behavior 101. You can get it on Amazon for Kindle, and you can just download the free Kindle software. And that will actually teach you more about dogs and how dogs really think and feel than anything you'll ever read. Now, one of the interesting things was a very good friend of mine, Karen, came over today to help me and babysit with my puppies while I was going over to visit my mom, who was in the hospital, who almost died yesterday. She's doing much better now. Please God, I hope she'll make it and she'll be okay. But Karen came over, and she's in one of my behavior classes. And it's funny when you see people kind of, they know, but they are seeing it really almost for the first time. Well, when Brandy had her puppies, of course, she, you know, decided she's going to grumble at the other dogs, and she's going to grumble when people come into her because they're her puppies and she's supposed to protect them, right? Well, think about it for a minute. When Brandy growls at the other dogs and tells them to leave her puppies alone and not to go near her puppies because they're her puppies and she's going to protect them and she's going to provide for them. Now, is it okay for her to be protective of her puppies? Well, you would think so, right? I mean, why wouldn't it be okay for a mama dog to protect its babies? Well, stay tuned, because I'm going to tell you why it's not okay for mama to protect her puppies against a person or animal in the house. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Oh, I just wanted to tell you guys, because I bet you've been waiting over the break and trying to figure out how it is not okay for a female dog, mama dog, to protect her puppies. Well, let's just say in my house, let's just say hypothetically, I might have, I hypothetically have 18 dogs in my house. Just hypothetically, of course. Okay. Now, if mama dog thinks that she can protect her puppies, that means that mama dog now is the owner of those puppies, and mama dog owns wherever those puppies are. So now if mama dog decides she's not going to let one of the other dogs into the house, or let a guest in, or not let the owner go near the dogs, near the puppies, can you see how quickly this could turn into a big disaster? It can really turn into a problem. So you can't let mama dog think she owns anything. The moment those puppies are born, they belong to me. They belong to the human. And if you don't think that that's true and that should happen, then you're very, very, very misguided. Because think like a dog. If the dog is actually trying to take over and be the protector and the provider, doesn't the dog suddenly become the leader? Doesn't the dog become the one who's in charge? And isn't the leader the one who gets to do the providing and the protecting, and the caring, and the nurturing? Well, yeah, that's exactly what happens. So let's say I allowed Brandy to discipline the other dogs. That would knock me down in my dog's eyes so that I'm no longer in charge. I'm no longer the leader. But more importantly, and worse of all, is that because the dog feels that, that I'm not in charge anymore, that means that he's in charge or she's in charge. So imagine now if I kept a puppy from every litter, which I tend to keep puppies, one from every couple of litters, and I see what I like and I keep one. So now let's just say for a minute I keep a puppy and Brandy decides she's going to protect the puppy because it's her puppy. And let's say somebody comes into the house and all of a sudden, Brandy starts growling. This has not happened. This will never happen with my dogs. But I'm just saying. And let's say Brandy's growling. Well, it's already 2 years after she had the puppy. You already blew it. You need to make sure that she knows when before it's a problem. So the first day when all these dogs are born, all these little puppy schmuppies are being born, and the first moment that mama dog makes a little growly noise at either one of the dogs or another human, instantly, you're going to correct the dog. You're going to correct the female and make sure she understands in no uncertain terms that she is not allowed to correct. Now, does it happen only one time? It may be more than once. It may happen three or four times you might have to correct. But you're going to have to correct it anyway. It's kind of like making a turn into a parking lot. Well, eventually you got to stop because you're going to run out of gas. So maybe you should pull into the parking lot there. So And here's a puppy noise. This is so cute. That's a little puppy. Thought you might enjoy that, the little puppy schmuppies. So important, so important to make sure that when you're dealing with any kind of dog that you're in charge. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be mean. You're going to be a very nice boss, but you have to be the boss. If you're not it, then the dog is it. If you want the dog to stop being the leader, then you have to do that job. And if you don't feel that you can handle it, don't get a dog or have somebody else come out and work with the dog to make sure that you have a good, legitimate behaviorist. I think sometimes people don't realize the difference between a behaviorist and an obedience trainer. A behaviorist works with the behavior of the dog and works specifically to rehabilitate any behavioral issues that might be. A behaviorist is not going to make your dog sit and not going to give him cookies and is not going to put a shock collar on him or a prong collar or anything like that. But a prong collar does simulate the feeling of the teeth of the leader kind of poking into the pack member's neck. I do not believe in it. I do not advocate them at all. But at least you understand why those things work. But it's very sad when you actually have, really, really nice dogs who, you know, through no fault of their own, were not trained or were not worked with by a behaviorist. And then you have these behavioral issues, and it's really sad. Because if you have a great dog, if you have the best dog in the world, then you'll be able to do like I do and take your dogs all over. Now, yes, Wyatt, Wisp, and Savannah are service dogs as well. But when they're just running around the house here, they're not doing anything with checking out the, who's going to break into the house. They're sleeping on the bed. And, oh, by the way, if they seem to have an issue or if something happens, yeah, they're going to turn into big, scary dogs. They are big, scary dogs, but they're very sweet. So, again, if you own your house, then you own every dog in it, every dog toy, every human, every little baby human, every human owning something, or wherever it is. Your dog can't own that. If your dog owns it, then you don't. If you own it, then he can't. It's that simple. This has very, very little to do with obedience. This has everything to do with behavior. It's a much more important job to make sure that you're providing and protecting than it is to throw a cookie at your dog, pray that he catches it, and then hope that it'll sit the first time. But it's not about all these sit and lie down and commands and operant conditioning and all that. It's just about making sure that the dog understands what you expect him to do and that you make sure that the dog is the one who understands and gets that concept of, you know, being able to not only nurture, but also being able to, be a better dog, be a good role model, kind of like a Wyatt, you know, or a Whisper. Really, all my dogs are so good. So let's say somebody brings over, like what happened to me last week. We were babysitting a dog, and the dog suddenly barged through the door. And when it barged through the door, a couple of my other dogs were right outside the door. Now, that could have been a huge dog fight, but it wasn't a problem at all. It wasn't a dog fight at all, because as soon as I saw it happening, I shushed everybody. I went right back to doing what I was doing. I turned everybody's back away, and miraculously, the dog stopped going after my two dogs. It's just about learning. It's just about teaching, and it's about understanding that if you don't do a little bit of work, and if you don't put in a little bit of time, you're not going to have a fixed dog. People who want a board and train, and they say, oh, I just want to do a board and train, just take my kid, or whatever it is, just take my dog and take it away. Well, taking it away doesn't mean that somebody else is fixing it. It just means that the dog isn't going to be under your control anymore, and that's not really good. I would much prefer have the family work with the dog And then if you have a problem and you get stuck, then we can put it into something else. Well, I'm going to have to break for a moment, but please stay tuned. I will be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we have a little bit more to talk about, and talking about different ways of making sure that your dog does not think that he or she is in charge of your entire life. Now, granted, some dogs really do think they're in charge of our lives, and maybe they are. But again, the main thing is to make sure that you understand what you need to be doing as an owner, and you need to know also what you're doing to make sure that the dogs that you have are never going to wind up in a shelter or rescue. Make sure you're not giving those animals up. Dogs are not disposable. They're not little, you know, little collectible figurines that you can just take one and then suddenly, you know, it's just like, oh, look, put it on the shelf or on the back, you know, in the back in the corner, and you don't have to worry about it. I mean, unfortunately, dogs are living, breathing creatures, and, you know, it's important to understand that, you know, these dogs have to be, have to really be taught, same way as we would teach our child. We want to make sure we teach the child. Want to teach the dog. We don't want to yell at the dog. We don't want to get angry at the dog. We don't want to get frustrated with the dog. All we want to do is teach the dog what we expect. And amazingly, if you do that and you teach the dog what you want, the dog will be only too happy to give you exactly what it is you want. But unfortunately, sometimes it's just all together too much easier to just make it, you know, to, oh, it's easier, oh, just, I know he doesn't want to go for a walk, let's not take him out, or I don't know how to handle that. Think about that. How many times have you done something because it was the quick and easy way instead of the best way? Right? Hasn't everybody done that? With whatever it is in life, we first decide, oh, well, I don't really, it's kind of cold out, so I don't want to go for a walk. Okay, that's fine. But it's not freezing cold the whole time. You're not living in Alaska. And if you are, use your basement. The key is making sure that the dog gets that concept that you are leading it out on a hunt. If the dog feels that you're leading it, then that will transition over into everything else. If the dog feels that you're in charge, you're walking calmly and confidently, and you're walking with purpose, and you're, you know, on your way, and well, that's what the dog is going to feel. The dog is going to know because he's going to feel your energy moving forward. And whether it's a rescue or a shelter dog or a purchase dog, doesn't matter. Dogs are dogs. And dogs do what dogs do because they're dogs. I mean, they're just dogs. Can't change a dog into a cat, and you can't change a cat into a pot roast. But, you know, things are different. And you have to make sure, again, that you are, you know, doing the right thing that that dog needs. So if you decide that you're not going to walk the dog and take him out for a little hunt so he can think symbolically, at least, that he's out there looking for food, then don't call and say, oh, it's not working. It's not working. Well, if you call me up, and I get this all the time, people call me up and they say, hey, Janice, you know, I'm just wondering if, you know, if you are able to come over and fix my dog. My dog's got all these behavioral issues. I have two dogs. They've been fighting for a year. All right. Well, if I'm going to come over and help you, I'm not going to hold your hand and say, okay, here, just make the dog sit and make him do three Hail Marys and four Our Fathers and face east, and he'll be the best dog in the world. Well, would it be wonderful if that were the case? But I'm pretty sure that's not happening. So, yes, you've got to take care of the dog, make sure the dog knows that in no uncertain terms that you're in charge, he's not in charge, and if you're it, they're not. Think about Canadian geese for a minute, and think about the formation that they fly. It's actually Canada geese, named after the man who was in Canada, Canada geese, and we've heard of them, and a lot of times they are, they're not the easiest, most graceful bird, and if you've ever gone towards one that is guarding its nest, those things are pretty scary, actually. They're pretty big, and they'll come right after you because they're trying to protect their eggs. That's a basic presence in no matter what happens in life, whether it's animals or human. So if you think that it's your job to protect, then it's your job to protect. If you don't think it's your job to protect, then find somebody else who will. That's how nature works. So think about that for a minute. Now, I also wanted to mention about the Wyatt stuffed animals because we are starting to get out of them. They're a limited edition, and we're starting to get a little lower on them now. They are $20 each, and they are little Rhodesian Ridgebacks with Wyatt's face on them and his story, and he's truly an amazing, inspiring animal. The only Ridgeback in history and youngest dog of any breed to win the AKC Ace Award. And it's so exciting. It's just really, really very, very exciting. But the Wyatt stuffed animals are helping us at Merlin's Kids for fundraising, so please get involved. We're also going to have some really cool things going on, including an art auction, so you definitely want to stay tuned for the final segment today. But it's, again, it's making sure that we get the right dog for the right situation, whether it's a puppy or whether it's an adult dog, no matter what it is. If you're thinking dogs, then you need to learn and read this book. It's called Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, kind of like play on words there. And Happens, Canine Behavior 101, is really a wonderful compendium of all different types of important information about dogs. And we started talking about the Canadian geese. If you take your fingertips and put them out ahead of you, like you're kind of trying to break the water with your body, and you have your left hand and your right hand both kind of sticking, touching fingertips, and then kind of spread your hands out a little bit so the fingertips are still together, but the V is a little wider. So if you're able to, figure it out, we're trying to, make sure that you're all set up, then, read the book and start learning before you need the help. If you can't figure it out yourself, then you can always call. You can help me also and get my help from 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855 for Canine PROS, or 855 Hi, Wyatt. 855, hi, Wyatt. And Wyatt's line will help you and will be able to work with you and make sure that you have the help you need. So, anyway, we're going to have to go and come back again, and I will sit with my beautiful little Ridgeback puppies who are just snuggly and delicious. And you can look at Facebook on Merlin's Kids, Merlin's Kids, and you can look at our Facebook posts and see the beautiful puppies who are just delicious. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And I'm just always excited about making sure we're able to teach new people about new things. And it's funny, you know, I love the frantic calls I seem to get all the time. And it's kind of funny because people don't realize that they're, you know, that they're getting desperate. You'll have somebody who, I've got like six or seven just this week, people who have aggressive dogs, and they've been living with the dogs fighting or living with the dogs running out the door and attacking other dogs. And then all of a sudden, it's like they call me and they're like, I need help immediately. I need help. You need to come right away. I'm like, okay, well, how long has this been going on? Well, it's been going on for like 4 years. I have a six-year-old German Shepherd, and it's been aggressive for 4 years. Well, it was really aggressive before that, but it got really aggressive 4 years ago. It's kind of like the people who call up for a doctor's visit, and they've been sick for a month, and they yell at the doctor because the doctor isn't getting them in a, you know, the same day. Well, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't think when they, you know, when they're trying to ask for help, they get very demanding, and I know that's just frustration. I realize that people are, you know, just trying to help their animals. But, you know, unfortunately, the goal is to help these people. And the people who are this stressed and really are not sure of how to handle their dog and they're not sure what they should be doing, these are the people who their energy is just making it worse. And it's really kind of scary because, I mean, you try your best to help people, but unfortunately, you know, if you don't realize that, you know, things that you're doing are creating the problems in your dog, then you're not going to be able to fix your dog. I mean, if you can't change, if I can't change you, I can't change that human, I can't change the dog. I can only make sure that I do the best I can to help as many people as I can. And you know what's funny? My good friend Dr. Temple Grandin and I always talk, and people will ask her the same questions over and over again. Dr. Grandin, how do I help my autistic child? And the first thing she says is, I don't know your autistic child. How old is he? What does he do? You're not giving me any specifics. And I feel like that sometimes where people just get very frazzled, and they call up, and they're like, okay, I need your help. I need your help. Please fix my dog. And meanwhile, I mean, I can't fix the dog because one lady I spoke with last week, I swear I was twitching. I was, like, shaking because she was so scary and neurotic. And, you know, unfortunately, when somebody is very animated and agitated and upset and, you know, fearful and frustrated and all those lovely emotions that make us appear to be unstable and appear to be less in charge. Well, this lady was on the phone managing to get me absolutely neurotic. And I'm a very calm person. I mean, I'm a live and let live kind of gal. I feel so bad all the time for people who have issues and have behavioral issues with their dogs or have problems with children. But, you know, I didn't make those problems. And the problem is that the people who make me crazy and that the ones who, when they call us at United Canine Professionals, 1-855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, pros, when people call us at United Canine Professionals and they want to join our team, they want to become a canine behaviorist or a service dog trainer or a therapy dog trainer or a cancer and disease detection dog trainer or somebody to work with battered children with a specially trained service dog that detects cortisol. All of those things rely on the human being calm and in control. And you'll see a lot of times when people are out of control, first thing they start doing is they start getting nasty to those around them. And I see that certainly a lot. People will call, I need you to come immediately. I need you to come immediately. I don't want to pay you for it. I'm not going to be nice about it. I've had this problem for 4 years, but you've got to come immediately. Well, you know, that's just not realistic. But I think most people, if given the choice, will understand that behavior is behavior and obedience is obedience, and obedience is fun to play and teach tricks and things like that. But if you have a dog with a behavioral issue, behavior is behavior. And if you don't make sure that you teach the dog in a way that's behavioral, you're not going to be able to fix the behavior. You can make a dog sit, but if you came home from work and I said to you, hey, sit down, calm down. I know you got burglarized, your house got robbed, but it's okay. Sit down, calm down. Well, I think most people would probably smack me and say, I don't want to sit down. I don't want to calm down. I'm upset. Well, that's the key. If you're upset about something and somebody tells you to sit down and calm down, you're probably going to slug them. Certainly not going to calm down. So that brings me to my final thoughts for today. It's really important to be a really good, confident person in charge of everything in your life, but most of all, your dog. If your dog thinks that you are upset and the dog feels that you're not doing a good job of providing for his welfare and protecting him from harm, and the dog feels that you're unstable, that you're not in control, then how can I or anybody fix that dog? I can only fix that dog by changing the human. Like I said, if I can't change a human, I can't change the dog. So again, trying to change the dog, making sure that the dog understands that I'm in charge, he's not, and I love him dearly, but it's going to be my way or the highway. The dog has to be able to understand, and you have to be able to understand that somebody has to be in charge. And if it's not the dog, then it can be you. But if it is not you, it is going to be the dog. So in my house and most of my clients, I teach how to make sure they are able to be in charge. If they're able to be in charge, then the dog automatically isn't. And that you won't understand until you do it. But pick up a copy of my book. It really is a super, super book. It's called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Canine Behavior 101. And it truly is just an amazing, amazing book that will help you with so many aspects of canine behavior. And if you want to join our team, if you'd like to learn how to be a canine behaviorist, possibly train with service dogs or therapy dogs or cancer detection dogs, or working with firefighters and first responders on toxins and carcinogens, please let us know. You can call us either at 855-HI-WYATT, or you can go online to www.united, the letter K, the number 9, professionals, with an S, .com, 855-4K-9-PROS, and we will be happy to be with you again next week. It's amazing how quickly an hour show can go, but we appreciate your being with us, appreciate you having the good feelings and thoughts that you're doing. Thank you to all of you for your great wishes about my mom, Jean, and hopefully she will be okay. The puppies are huge and getting bigger by the moment, and we're going to have puppy naming competition, little contest coming up, so definitely be here on Friday for the Love a Dog and be here on Tuesday from Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Have a wonderful, wonderful, happy week. Take care.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.